InfoTrack, the weekly show with information you should know. Here's your host, Chris Whitting.
You may work out, but if you sit all day, your heart may still be at risk. Brian Bruhlman is lead researcher and doctoral candidate at the University of California, Riverside, Department of Genetics, Genomics, and Bioinformatics. And he joins us to explain why getting up might be the healthiest move you make today. Ryan, what inspired this study on the effects of sitting, especially in younger adults?
I was really interested in this from a personal standpoint a little bit. Admittedly, during the COVID pandemic, I found myself sitting a little bit more, but talking with others around me, and I found even for younger individuals going to college or starting out their early careers, they had mentioned sitting a lot too, and it seemed to become more pervasive during the COVID pandemic.
How is sitting for 8 or more hours a day, how does that impact cholesterol and BMI?
What we found is that higher levels of sitting is associated with higher levels of cholesterol and BMI, and really what that's getting at is just sitting for a long period of time puts your body in a state of kind of where things are a little bit fragmented. You're not burning as many calories. You're just doing things that are not promoting getting up and moving around, which is good for your circulatory system, and that helps to normalize cholesterol levels, but then also burning those calories, which is really integral when it comes to things like BMI.
Were you surprised that even active individuals were negatively affected by long sitting hours?
Yeah, it was very interesting to see that there are good impacts for bringing down cholesterol levels, BMI, that are not surprising when you look at increasing physical activity times. But it was interesting to see that for individuals that were meeting the current recommended guidelines for physical activity, but sitting for 8+ hours, a majority of their day, it wasn't enough to really bring them out of those kind of increasingly higher risk categories when it came to cholesterol and BMI.
Ryan, how did you isolate sitting as a cause for increased BMI, independent of factors like diet and smoking?
In our models, we do ask participants if they are current smokers. We try to get an idea of what their diet is. Diet's a little tricky to get an idea, but we did get an idea of at least fruit and vegetable intake, so getting at a healthy diet. And then we included those. We included diet. We included smoking. We also controlled for their age as well as their gender as well. And those were included in the model. So those were all factored out on their own. But then looking there, sitting still stuck out as significant.
We're talking with Ryan Bruhlman, who is a researcher, lead researcher. And we're talking about this study of how sitting for too long every day is not good for your body. Ryan, what kind of activities would you say count as moderate versus vigorous in your study?
Yeah, moderate and vigorous are kind of a tough distinction, but I always tell people to kind of think about when you're doing a certain type of physical activity, if you could have a conversation with someone next to you while you're doing it, then it's generally going to be moderate or lower. If you feel like you're doing some type of physical activity, you know, you might start sweating a little bit, but you could still have a conversation, it's likely moderate. If you're doing something where it's tough, it's challenging, you can't say more than a word or two at a time, you can't have a conversation with someone next to you, it's probably more so leaning towards vigorous activity.
And what role did self-reported data play in the research, and how reliable is it?
Self-report was, we gleaned that when it came to sitting as well as physical activity. That was all based on self-report. Now, there have been studies that have brought up, is self-report reliable? Is it not? And we have used self-report metrics that kind of glean at sitting at different times, different modalities. So at work, while they're traveling to different places. So we try to ask multifaceted questions, which tends to be much more reliable than just asking them, how many hours a day do you sit in general? Same thing with the physical activity. We kind of ask detailed questions to get at that, and that helps. But definitely further research is needed, particularly looking at things like fitness tracker data, whether it be with a Fitbit or an accelerometer or something like that, to kind of help back up these findings.
Now, can doing vigorous exercise make up for a sedentary lifestyle, for example, watching television for 6 or 8 hours at night, or is reducing sitting time more effective?
So what we found is that really, ideally, what you want to do is reduce that amount of sitting time. That is just kind of the number one thing, that if you can reduce it, especially kind of so that way it's not the majority of your day, that's really optimal. But I understand that for some people, their jobs may not allow that, or you know, you get home from a long shift and you've had to sit at work all day and you're exhausted. But really what's key is if you can't reduce that sitting time, if it's just not feasible, really amping up that vigorous activity, going above and beyond what might be recommended. And generally 10 minutes a day is what's recommended. So if you're sitting for a long period of time, you might want to just run an extra mile or do a little extra rowing on a rowing machine or whatever vigorous activity you might do.
Did you notice any gender differences in how sitting affected cholesterol and BMI?
We did control for sex. There were some significances when it came to males versus females, but overall, sitting seemed to impact both of them, regardless of whether it was BMI or the cholesterol measures.
So what practical advice would you offer to younger adults listening who feel healthy, but they sit most of the day?
Yeah, I would just tell the younger adults, don't think that you're invincible. You know, you're young, and keep yourself young and in good overall health by thinking about your sitting times. Talk to your doctor about it or other health professionals and think about, how can I reduce my sitting time? Whether it be I get a standing desk. Oh, I get up during my lunch hour and do a little walking around after I eat something or before I eat something. Just finding little ways to reduce that sitting time, getting up and moving around a little bit, because every little bit does help. And really, communicating with your doctor about sitting time is a good step as well, even at your early ages, whether it be 20s, 30s, or beyond.
So I have to ask, having done this research, has this changed your lifestyle at all?
Yes, I definitely do have a standing desk now, so I alternate between the sitting and standing. Every once in a while, people will, on the Zoom calls, will hear a whir, and it's just me moving my desk up. So yeah, I've definitely done that. And I've also found that the vigorous activity really does help break up things. If I've had a long day of work and I go for a run, I almost give it like a plumbing analogy. You know, your pipes are clogged, so to speak. Not to say that your arteries would be clogged, but just that things kind of feel a little bit stagnant. And I think that that vigorous run, the vigorous activity that I do, at least, I feel much more clear-minded after. It really does feel better overall.
Good advice. Ryan Bruhlman, lead researcher and doctoral candidate at the University of California, Riverside. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Next, social media is linked to preteen depression.
That story, straight ahead.
You're listening to InfoTrack. More after this.